VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, we thank you for joining us. A very provocative program here today. January 6, 2021, a Save America rally held in Washington, D.C. We heard much of the speech, President Trump's speech, to the masses assembled from around the nation. And he said this. He said, "We have come to demand that Congress do the right thing and only count the electors who have been lawfully slated." Lawfully slated. "I know that everyone here will soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard." Well, reports have since come out about the speculation mounted that U.S. authorities themselves either knew what was going to transpire in advance and allowed it to happen, or undercover state infiltrators played some role in orchestrating the upheaval. One account on WND.com indicated that a U.S. Army veteran who faces 15 years in prison for his alleged role in the January 6 event at the Capitol says an FBI informant he knew from his military service urged him to join the mob that broke into the Capitol. In the aftermath, stories are emerging of the January 6 political prisoners facing unethical and harsh prison conditions at the hands of the warden of the D.C. prison. Well, joining us today, we welcome a first-time guest here on Crosstalk, Matt Brainerd, Executive Director of Law, Look Ahead America. He founded and led the Voter Integrity Project to discover illegal ballots and other election anomalies. He's the former Director of Data and Strategy for the Trump campaign. He's president of Brainerd Group, a political and digital strategy firm, and he was a senior redistricting and election administration analyst at Election Data Services. Matt, thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Thanks. It's a real honor to be on your air.
Well, let's first revisit January 6th. Take us to that day, Matt, and your observations on what transpired that day. We know President Trump had invited the people from across the nation concerned about this election to come to D.C. They wanted only the electoral votes that we could know were truly cast electoral votes to be counted at that particular time. But take us to D.C. January 6th and your observations.
Well, that's that day is remarkable to me. I was not in D.C. that day. I was actually fighting a different battle in Florida at the Republican National Committee's winter meeting. And my view of what happened that day happened by just catching a glimpse of the television over the top of a bar. I was down there basically trying to help with election integrity efforts, because it's still January 6th, we're in sort of the throes of the election integrity battle. Mm-hmm. So it was to me sort of a distraction. I saw some people standing outside the Capitol building, like on the steps or something, and honestly, I didn't really pay it a whole heck of a lot of attention. In fact, what got most of the attention that day was the fact that the Republican National Committee building had been targeted by a bomb. Somebody had left a bomb outside of it, and that individual is still not being captured. So that was, at the Republican National Committee's winter meeting, that was what was really catching the most attention in that moment. But I can say that the immediate aftermath, Look Ahead America has been leading on this issue. We sent a letter to the Department of Justice and the FBI on, I think it was January 28th, all the way back in January, demanding that all charges be dropped against the nonviolent offenders who were being swept up in arrests around the country. We thought that it was out of line given the previous treatments of people who did exactly the same type of behavior around the Kavanaugh hearings, when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez stormed the Speaker's office, and particularly in contrast to the hundreds of people who were charged with violence at President Trump's inauguration, who also had all charges dropped. Just not for peacefully protesting, but for real violence, like destroying police cars, assaulting police officers, etc. So we sent that letter in January. Of course, we didn't get a response. And since then, we've been elevating the volume on this issue. And I think that Look Ahead America's had the role of icebreaker, meaning we sent the letter in January. And then, months later, members of Congress started to pay attention to the issue. We led a rally at the Department of Justice all the way back, I think it was in May, And we, you know, I got a permit. We pulled up a flatbed pickup truck in front of the Department of Justice and FBI. We got no media coverage. We had about 30 people there to protest the treatment of these people. Then we held an event at the prison itself. And that got maybe 150 people, a little bit of local press. And at the same time, we had about 10 events across the country simultaneously protesting this. And you know, when we did that, then members of Congress started going to the jail. And we're very grateful for the support of those folks. We're very grateful for people like Paul Gosar, who came and spoke at two of our events. We're grateful to people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Louis Gohmert, who've been going to the prison, been raising the volume on this, the mistreatment of these people. Because even if you think they were, you know, guilty of something, they've not been convicted of anything, and they're being treated worse than anybody at Guantanamo Bay ever was. Mm-hmm. It's horrendous how these people have been treated. And you know, this all our movement culminated with our massive rally on in September at the U.S. Capitol, where essentially the Capitol Police and all the neighboring police departments rolled out massive security for our peaceful rally, which is always going to be peaceful. But we succeeded in getting massive coverage, not just here in the U.S., but around the globe. We filed a complaint with the United Nations. We've gone to New York to press our case there with the Human Rights Council because this is a violation of these people's human rights. So we're continuing with that. Our effort now continues in the form of a podcast where we're interviewing the political prisoners who are able to speak, and they're telling us their story. But we're in regular contact with the people that are in lockup. They're reaching out to us on a regular basis. And we've been doing everything we can to get the word out about them and to make this a bigger issue than the media or the Biden administration wants it to be.
And we're certainly going to reveal some of these conditions and reports that you've received. Just on one other issue, though, and I don't know if you've directly looked into this or not. I know there have been a number of agencies that have, even a documentary Tucker Carlson has just put out indicating that it's, you know, the feds that were actually involved in inciting the things that transpired at the Capitol on January 6th. Citizens were entrapped by this. Is this anything you've looked at it all? Any evidence of any direct involvement by the FBI or other state involvement in provoking a breach at the Capitol?
Well, the thing is, the FBI and the Capitol Police have joined in lockstep to prevent any of these questions from being answered, have joined in lockstep to prevent the release of over 14,000 hours of video footage of what happened that day. So that just tells you that they had to have had something going on, at least monitoring, at least having confidential informants. And how far did that go? We've got incidences of individuals being caught on video encouraging people to storm the building. These people haven't been arrested or questioned. So they have to answer questions, not just about who among their staff were there on the ground that day, because they were, you know, very clearly FBI agents at our own rally on in September.
Like, yes.
And what did they know in advance? What did they encourage people to do? What were the communications? What were the communications that day? All of these have to be answered, and that requires Congress to step up, a majority party in Congress to step up and hold real hearings, not phony hearings about what happened on January 6th, but real hearings about the government's involvement and about the Department of Justice and the FBI's political persecution of people having nothing to do with what they did that day and everything to do with their political beliefs. So, you know, maybe this Congress isn't the one to do it, but maybe the next one is.
We're talking today with Matt Brainerd, Executive Director of Look Ahead America. We are now 10 months, Matt, after January 6th. And there have been some very significant reports of human rights violations, some very inhumane treatment of the J6 political prisoners. One family I know that you followed, and I'm going to have you tell some other incidents as well, but you called attention to the Lang family. Reveal for us what's going on. This is not, as you say, the conditions that people are going to see in other prison situations. You mentioned that the prisoners at Gitmo are being treated better than those that are the January 6th political prisoners. So share with us what you have found.
I will, but I want to make up. You raised an issue, too, about Guantanamo Bay. You and I both remember when the U.S. started picking up folks trying to kill our soldiers on the battlefield and bringing them to Guantanamo Bay.
Yes.
That the left and the mainstream media in this country celebrated attorneys going down there to represent them pro bono.
Mm-hmm.
They were heroes.
Yes.
For doing the difficult work of that's required in the justice system. I can tell you, I have tried, and I've actually been successful in connecting many of these political prisoners to attorneys, but it has been difficult. And in many cases, we found even attorneys who are willing to take the cases, but are told by their law firms that they cannot because it would make the law firm look bad. So it's easier for somebody who has and has killed U.S. soldiers on foreign soil to get an attorney than it is for our own citizens who committed no violence, who simply may have walked into a public building at the wrong time and wrong place, which would ordinarily not merit anything more than same-day release and a $50 fine.
Right.
And I can tell you, at our rally in September, a woman came up to me, the founder of Code Pink, and she told me that during the Kavanaugh hearings, she was arrested for the same things that these people are being charged with. She was arrested over 20 times just during the Kavanaugh hearings, and each time fined $50, released that same day, and let to go back. She did not have the FBI break down the door of her house and point guns at their children, which has happened to these individuals. So make no mistake, this is about political persecution. This is about going after people because they disagree with the incumbent regime.
So now, calling them political prisoners then is not an overreach by any extent.
Not at all, and it's a term that we are not familiar using domestically. It's a term we hear about when we talk about foreign regimes, mm-hmm. totalitarians, dictators, etc. So to hear it used here and so accurately, there's no way to look at it honestly, with impartially, intellectually honest, and not to see this is a tremendous crime being perpetrated by our government. And we're in touch with quite a few of the folks that are in prison. In fact, we even had Jacob, the Q shaman, you know, the guy who won the best contest, costume contest on January 6th, who committed no violence, who did nothing different than Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez did when she stormed the speaker's office with her minions. Laid no finger on a police officer, did everything he was told. He's been sitting in solitary since January. And his mother was going to speak at our big event in September, but he told her not to come because he was terrified that she would also be swept up and persecuted unfairly for political beliefs just like he was. Mm-hmm. So it's just a chill. It's not just what's happening to them, but it's the chilling effect. It had people terrified of coming to a peaceful First Amendment exercise on behalf of these individuals because people were afraid of what was going to happen. Now, one of the folks that, you know, Jacob Lang, have gotten to know his father quite well. His father's a true patriot. He led the prayer at our event in September. According to his family, since he's been in, Jacob has yet to get a haircut or a shave. They're like 10 months now. He continues to be held in solitary confinement. He was put in solitary in the hole for asking for Bible study. His food rations include no fruits or vegetables, and his diet is about 500 calories of the junk, the sludge they feed you in that prison, or feed these men in this prison. They've been subjected to beatings from the prison guards, and Jacob's been punched in the ribs. He's been maced for singing the national anthem. And after one of our recent rallies, the political prisoners were all awakened in the middle of the night, marched to the jail carrying their mattresses, and were confined to the basement where there was no bathroom or running water.
We're going to break right here, folks, and I want you to grasp what is being said. I mean, these are individuals, some just walking into this building, wrong place, wrong time. Others just given a $50 ticket for their riot and so forth. But here, political prisoners, folks, back in a minute. This is Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how much can scientists tell about an animal from its fossils?
Chris, they can tell quite a bit, but oftentimes they claim too much. Let me give you an example. Recently, a few fragments of teeth were found in Morocco of a mammal no bigger than a small dog, but the evolutionary discoverers claim that it was of a small elephant. Evidently, the molars were more similar to elephant molars than anything else. But they didn't stop there. They claim that this particular elephant didn't even have a trunk, and that he hid in trees and hunted at night. Cut me some slack. How can they tell this from a few tooth fragments? Now, I'm not sure what this animal was, but I'm quite certain you can't look at a tooth and know all that. Evolutionists should stop telling evolutionary stories and get back to Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're talking today with Matt Brainerd, Executive Director of Look Ahead America. We're talking about the J6 political prisoners, their treatment, their very harsh, inhumane treatment that is taking place here as we speak. And friends, these are not stories that you're going to be picking up from the major media across this nation. You need to be plugged in and aware of what is taking place. Right now, telling us a story of Jacob Lang. No haircuts, no shave for these 10 months, no fruits and vegetables in the diet, maced for singing the national anthem. I mean, this is already horrid, Matt, the very things that you're talking about here.
Yeah, and this is not a single incident. This is what all of these individuals have been subjected to, including many of whom have just, I mean, they're not even charged with violence. They're just, we're in the wrong place at the wrong time.
So you said they were marched down to the basement in the middle of the night?
That was in reaction to our rally. And I guess it was just an extra excuse for the prison guards who, based on everything we've heard, themselves belong in prison. Marched them down, no toilets, no running water, nothing, just stuck into a room. So you can imagine, this is what the people during the French Revolution who were being executed and imprisoned, this is that level of treatment being perpetrated by our own government. And I mean, I don't care who you are or what you've done, our government should not be treating anybody like that. It does not treat foreign prisoners of war. It does not treat foreign terrorists, not covered by the Geneva Convention, this way. We absolutely should not be treating these citizens this way. And there will be a reckoning. There will be a reckoning. These people's stories, they will get out of prison one day, and we will hold the authorities to account. That will happen. There's no escaping it. And we will know those prison guards' name. We will know the prison warden's name. We'll know everybody all the way up the chain of command, right up to President Biden, who's responsible for this.
You've heard from other families as well.
That's true. Jacob Q. Shaman is the one who we've heard quite a lot from as well. And his, you know, again, he didn't do anything violent. He didn't abuse anybody. But the beatings, the denial of contact, the fact that they can't any contact with an outsider results in I think 2 weeks in solitary again because of COVID, despite, you know, everyone testing negative and having been vaccinated. You know, mysteriously the body cameras on the guards being turned off right as the beatings begin. The individual who his letter was publicized in several places, Gateway Pundit and New American. Nathaniel DeGrave has documented, you know, a guy basically losing his eye permanently to a beating from a prison guard.
I'm just going to interject here because I've got the copy of both the Gateway Pundit and New American. It just came out this Monday in the newamerican.com about Nathan DeGrave. Faces a 12-count indictment in connection with entering the Capitol during the mostly peaceful protest. Tells of beating, starvation, poor hygiene, lack of medical care. In the letter published just last week, he alleged that January Sixers have suffered daily lockdowns for 23 to 24 hours before being permitted to leave their 120-square-foot cells, and isolation has caused many people to go on a rapid mental decline. He writes that a large percentage of us are heavily medicated with anti-anxiety and antidepressant drugs that helps to cope with psychological and mental abuse. He wrote, masks are weaponized and used against us. Masks need to be covering both the nose and mouth at all times, or we're threatened and locked down in our cells. Jan Sixers are also are always respected to the employees around us, but COs maintain they need to invent reasons for discipline. He wrote that jailers have seized sensitive legal documents, but more disturbingly, that the violation of their constitutional rights is the extreme medical neglect. Some have COVID-like symptoms, but medical personnel have refused to treat it. He said Christopher Worrell, for example, an inmate with cancer, who also broke his hand in prison and requires surgery, both have been completely ignored. Federal Judge Royce Lamberth, he wrote, got to the point where on October 12th he filed contempt of court charges against the warden of the D.C. DOC, claiming that Worrell's civil rights have been violated, demanding that the U.S. Attorney General inquire further about his and other possible violations. Peter Stager waited 4 months to receive his CPAP breathing machine and has needed an MRI since spring, which has also been ignored by the staff. He talks about medical neglect. He said also On at least five occasions, raw sewage has overflowed our unit, causing human fecal matter to flood the floors and rooms. There's also an addition to the mold on cell walls, as well as the rusty pipes and dirty water that flows from these sinks. White rags turn brown when exposed to the water from our faucets. Prisoners are also starving. He talks about the rations and the severe nutritional deficiencies that they're experiencing, Matt. And basically, he said that with his weight loss, and from malnutrition, he wrote that it makes him virtually unrecognizable. He said, "I fear even my family would not recognize me."
Yeah, and that's not just him. It's right. Many of the people that are held there, and there, we have, the government also has not been transparent about who's being held where. Look at America's built, I think, the most comprehensive database of the political prisoners. It includes everybody that's been arrested, whether they've been released, pled guilty, et cetera, along with their attorney's information, if anybody wants to make a contribution or help them out financially. And that's at lookaheadamerica.org/J6. It's a complete database. We're pretty vigilant about updating it. But it's even hard to get information about how many people are being held. Right now, we approximate about 80 individuals held both in D.C. and other facilities like it around the country in Oklahoma, et cetera. So this is a real nightmare scenario. It's right out of a horror film, and it's not over in an hour and a half like a horror film is, but it's gone on for 10 months.
Yeah.
And they've repeatedly, members of Congress, great patriots like Marjorie Taylor Greene and others, have marched to the prison demanding to have access, and they've been denied. There is a grave need for prison reform for this treatment, and there's so much that has to be done to fix all of these problems, and unfortunately it looks like there's nothing that's going to be done about this, either unless one of these judges steps up and has some courage and starts ordering these people released, or a change in Congress or even a change in the administration. They keep pushing back the prosecution, the court dates, back to 2022 in some cases, making excuses why the exculpatory evidence video would not be released. And I'll tell you what's driving this is that so much of the Biden agenda is premised, and not just the Biden agenda, but the left's agenda is premised on the notion of there ever having been a real dangerous insurrection threat to overthrow our government, by violent white supremacists. And if the video is released, if these people are treated the same way that they have historically been treated for engaging in the same behavior, any suggestion of an insurrection would be laughed off. So these individuals are paying the price for this narrative survival by being treated like worse than domestic terrorists, being treated worse than we've even treated Al-Qaeda captives. Why, in service of this phony narrative that everything is premised on? You even saw it two nights ago or last night when the MSNBC analysts were saying that, well, you go from somebody like Glenn Youngkin, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump to, hey, another insurrection like January 6th. They are intent on utilizing and weaponizing their narrative of what happened on January 6th to advance their political cause, be it CRT, or purging patriots from military, or all the way up to bring it into elections in the midterms. It's all dependent on this phony, imaginary insurrection that happened. And hey, if these guys walk out because they didn't do anything violent and they're treated that poorly, that narrative collapses, and everything that is based on that narrative also collapses.
Matt, again, I want to give out this website. It's lookaheadamerica.org/J6. That's lookaheadamerica.org/J6. And you've got the prisoner registry right there. It's rather appalling to see name after name after name after name that is there. Again, when you can, and folks, you remember seeing what happened during those Kavanaugh hearings. You saw the mayhem that was going on at the Capitol that particular time. No, you get a $50 fine and let go right away in order to come back and do it again. Yet these, and folks, look what happened in situations all over the country. The BLM riots that have taken place in cities across this nation, the burning of buildings and so forth. And then you just get, a judge that one fell sweep just says, well, no charges here. Or you get the CNN reporter on just saying mostly peaceful protests that are going on here across this nation. Let me ask you this, Matt. Is Congress intervening at all? Are there congressmen or women who are standing up and calling attention to this? Do they have access to go in and do inspections of this? Are they calling in, holding any kind of special hearings for the warden or guards to come in and testify before them?
The unfortunate reality is that the vast majority of members of Congress, I'm not indicating party or anything, but the vast majority of them have either been cowards or adversarial on this issue. You look at somebody like Lindsey Graham. It's been reported that he was calling on the Capitol Police to start executing people en masse.
What?
Peaceful protesters on January 6th. He's been quoted as having said that the Capitol Police should open fire on these peaceful protesters. And already, we both know of at least one woman who was killed, and we know the internal documents suggest that it was not a justifiable homicide, and that's Ashley Babbitt. But we also know Rosalind Boyle, who, based on some accounts, was beaten to death by a D.C. police officer who was at the Capitol that day, and that needs to be investigated. And the problem is that as great as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Paul Gosar and Louis Gohmert are, there aren't nearly enough people in the Capitol to make things happen. We just aren't enough of them, and they've done everything they can. They've marched all the way to the gates of the prison demanding to be let in repeatedly, but they can't force their way in. And unfortunately, without a majority of either party willing to stand up on this issue, it falls to us, to the citizens, to do what we can when our leaders have failed us, to show leadership on this issue.
And what can people do? How can listeners across this nation get engaged?
Well, let's think about for a moment. What would have happened if it was the left that was had their nonviolent political prisoners locked up, say, by someone like President Trump and held for 9 months and treated in these appalling conditions? Do you think that they would have tolerated it? Do you think they would have let it slide or just hoped it gone away like so many leaders on the right, allegedly leaders, are doing? No, of course not. They would have shut Washington, D.C. down. They would have marched 100,000 people into the city. And the broader issue is, well, why are we losing these battles at the national level? Why are we losing battles of election integrity at the state level? Why are we losing battles on CRT at the local level, the school board level? And it comes down to one thing: community organizing. Community organizing is something that we made fun of Barack Obama for a long time ago, but that was a mistake. The reason our people are still sitting in that prison, the reason our brothers and sisters are being politically persecuted, is because of our lack of political community organizing to demand justice the same way that the left has historically. And that's what Look Ahead America is. We are America First community organizers. So whether we're leading the battle at the national level on the Justice for J6 initiative, whether we're fighting at state level to educate legislators about voter integrity and making the necessary reforms to fix our election system, whether it's the local level battling CRT at the school board level, that's the battles that we're engaged in, and there's no community organizing without communities. We're not backed by any millionaires or billionaires. All of our donors are low-dollar donors. That's what keeps the light on for our national staff. So people, please volunteer. Sign up to volunteer at lookaheadamerica.org, and we will put you to work.
Lookaheadamerica.org. Friends, let's open some phone lines today, taking your questions, your comments. I know some of you have family members or individuals you know that have been caught up in this as well, or swept into the system here. Our number, 800-733-9829. We'll be right back.
If you're like most individuals, you look forward to your vacation. Many will take great effort to consider a destination the family will enjoy, what to do, where to stay, and what highways to take to get there. Sadly, most people spend more time planning their one-week vacation than they do preparing for eternity. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. None of us has the promise of tomorrow, and our eternal destiny is sealed at death. Wouldn't it be wise to investigate these things? That's the purpose of the book, Preparing for Eternity. In this book, author Mike Gendron contrasts the truth of God's Word with the teachings and traditions he was taught for over 30 years in the Roman Catholic Church. He found that eternal life is not merited by good works, but is given freely by God's grace to those who put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their all-sufficient Savior. The book, Preparing for Eternity, is available for a donation of $17 or more to VCY America by calling 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our phone's rapidly filled up here, but as soon as you hear somebody hang up with us, that means that line will be vacant. Write down our number here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're talking with Matt Brainerd, Executive Director of Look Ahead America. Their website, lookaheadamerica.org, /J6. You'll find information here, even on the political prisoners that are being held. And let's take your questions, your comments here on this issue here today on Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Jason calling in. Hi, Jason. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, and hello, Matt. I've been following you for a long time. I was wondering, I was looking something up about the, one of the guys who was at the Capitol, and I believe he was from Arizona. He was, coincidentally a black man who may have went there to stir things up. But when I was looking for him, I found, an interesting article about a man named, Troy Anthony Smocks. Do you know anything about him and his case?
You know, they're in our database. He's got several hundred, so I do not know the details of all of them. Why don't you tell me? And it's also nice to meet somebody who's been invested in our efforts, so I'm glad that you've called in.
Well, apparently he was at a hotel in D.C., never stepped foot on the Capitol grounds, but he may have sent electronic threats or something. Right now, though, and I think probably in a very good play, he was he's decrying racism because of his sentence. I think it's a great effort to do that. And also, I believe
you're saying that he did send electronic threats.
I believe he did. That's why I didn't get the gist of it or whatever.
I mean, certainly there's an issue there, and I mean the whole matter of the peaceful protest, even as President Trump said, okay, we're going to soon be marching over to the Capitol building to peacefully and patriotically make your voices heard. That was the sentiment of President Trump, Matt.
Yep, and you know all of our protests, and we say that at the beginning of our protests in September at the Capitol, so we condemn all political violence, including what happened on January 6th. And, you know, we think that our emphasis has always been on the nonviolent protesters who've been overcharged and politically persecuted.
Right.
But even those who are charged with violence, they still should be treated humanely in our prisons, because that reflects on every one of us citizens.
Yeah.
What happens in our prison, we're accountable for all of that.
Yeah.
The democratic government, we're responsible.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. We got Warren in Watertown. You're on the air.
Yes, thanks for calling in. What the prisoners, I know Fort Leavenworth treats prisoners like that. Back in the 80s, that a guy that sent up there, and
yeah.
He came back where he could count his ribs. And I just pray to the Lord that if we start protesting, they don't do like with Kent State and Ruby Ridge and Waco, Texas.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Warren. Priscilla in Soldiers Grove, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two, one question and one comment. One is there a number? Can we call the prison and protest on these guys' behalf? And second, I had heard several years ago from another kind of a political prisoner that the senators own the land on which the prisons stand, and so the government is paying rent to the senators. So they have a financial interest, so of course they're not going to be blocking something that is going to give them more money.
Okay.
Well, I don't think that there's any personal finance tied into this, and I think it's a distraction from your first question, which I think is excellent. There's no point in reaching out to the prison, but reach out to your two U.S. senators and your U.S. congressman and passionately write a letter, call, and show up at their district office and ask for a meeting and bring your friends. And whatever the outcome is, please report that back to me at info@lookaheadamerica.org. We've gotten some really tone-deaf responses from some of our volunteers, from their legislators, and we like to make, you know, we want to make sure that those tone-deaf incorrect responses are highlighted. So if you get some copy-paste letter or something that completely ignores you, let us know, and we will hold your representative to count on that.
Thank you, Priscilla. Again, that's info@lookaheadamerica.org. And as far as the phone number, folks, we give it so often here on the program. Your House members can be reached to the House switchboard at 202-225-3121. That's 202-225-3121. The Senate main switchboard is 202-224-3121. And Matt, if you're on the phone with your senator right now, what would you be saying to them about this issue?
That regardless of what you think of what these individuals believe, maybe they believe the election was stolen, maybe they believe in space aliens, it doesn't matter. The treatment of these individuals is inhumane, and that's on them, on those senators, to fix it, to hold an investigation, hold the people who have abused these people accountable, and to look historically at what these individuals have been charged with for that type of behavior and to compare it to the way these people are being persecuted right now, to demand justice for these prisoners and demand equal treatment and humane treatment to them and to not turn their blind eye. See, here's the thing. There are a lot of people on the Hill who are just want January 6th to just go away, to pretend like it never happened. And for them to do that, they also have to ignore this inhumane treatment of these political prisoners. And we just can't let them do that. We cannot let them stick their head in the sand. We cannot let them walk away from this issue, because even if they're on the right, and you know, they're happy to tell you how they stand up for justice and they're against socialism and against high taxes and please give me a contribution because I'm running for office, do not let them get away with ignoring this issue. Do not demand satisfaction from them in their representation of you on this issue, because the left is not going to let this issue die. They're going to bring it up at every opportunity they can, and it can't be defeated by ignoring it. It has to be confronted and torn out by its roots. And members of Congress, House, Senate, vast majority are cowards. And very few of them follow the mold of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, Paul Gosar, Gohmert, etc., individuals like that. But you've got to hold their feet to the fire. You've got to let them know that you will not forget them. And if they show their face in public at a public event or a town hall, you will be there and you will be raising this issue in their face.
House.gov and Senate.gov, you'll get specific phone numbers directly to your legislator's office as well. Let's go next to Lubbock, Texas. And Dan, you're on the air.
Yeah, hey, I was just wondering, where's the ACLU in all this?
That's a great question.
We don't know the answer.
Thank you, Dan.
We reached out to them. We didn't really get any response. I guess they don't really stand for what they supposedly stand for. So, to the surprise of no one.
James is calling next. You're on the air, James.
Thanks for taking my call. First, you should publish far and wide video or audio, any kind of coverage you have of this inhumane treatment. Don't just wait for the trials. But secondly, why are we not using the court rulings regarding our Capitol here in Wisconsin when they had that communist uprising during Scott Walker's administration?
Mm-hmm.
They would not allow the Capitol to be secured against the infiltrators and the invaders who charged in and brought supplies and mattresses and food and even weapons.
I think
into
it's
the Capitol.
Yeah, I think it's called a double standard here. Thank you, James. That's what's happening. A very double standard, Matt.
Yeah, and it's important to recognize that who allows this to happen. It's our elected officials, and who holds them accountable? Nobody but us.
Yeah.
It's on us.
We've got Barry calling from Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yes. These people, I'm sure Matt will agree, that these people are just being used as an example for others to see, that to try to thwart off future attempts of any type of resistance or rebellion against their attempts to overthrow this country. And, you know, we need to do everything we can do through the political and legal realms and that, but in all seriousness, the key to a lot of this, as we could see, these elections we just had, those were a product of prayer, people praying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people get back to praying, we start praying for these people, God can open up the doors of those prisons just like he did for Peter, and I believe that. If these people, everyone out there hearing, will begin to put these people up on their prayer list and start praying, God will move. I guarantee it.
Yeah. Thank you, Barry.
Yeah, I like to say, pray to God, row for shore.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you for the call. Jerry is next in Whitewater. You're on the air.
Yeah, how many people are imprisoned, and are they? How many are men? How many are women? Any children? And what is there any? What are the nationalities? Are there Hispanic, Asian, black? What do we got here?
And well, the government does not have a lot of transparency. Our database, we have a pretty good indication in terms of where people are being held. We approximate right now it's about 80 individuals. I believe it's all men. In terms of ethnicity, other than guessing from their photo, we don't really have a great way to do that. But I can tell you that it's people of every race that have been cracked down on, have been arrested and prosecuted.
Matt, I'm looking at your site now, and your prisoner list, so you've got like 641 names. Are those some of those that are incarcerated and some are not?
Yeah, some of them are individuals who already pled guilty. Some of them who are released on house arrest, awaiting trial. So we have the option for you to do that search and set, you know, whether or not the case was closed or whatnot. And, you know, I had a very interesting one of our speakers at our South Carolina interview and our guest on our first episode of the podcast, which I think is going to come out tomorrow, is a guy named Stephen Horn. And the federal government has him charged with four things that he didn't do, right? And they said to him, if you plead guilty, we'll only charge you with one of them, and you'll face a fine and probation. And that one charge is pleading guilty for picketing and parading in a public building or something. And he's refused to take the deal because he says he wasn't picketing, parading. He's a documentarian, and he's got a record of being a documentarian, a journalist, independent journalist, documenting what happened that day. And he's refused to buckle, and he's going to trial. And his name, again, is Stephen Horn, and we're all rooting for him to be successful. And I think if he is successful, a lot of what the government is trying to do his will unravel. But I really admire his courage because a lot of folks, they've got families, they've got, you know, they've lost their families, they've lost their homes, they've lost their jobs, and they can't afford, they could probably beat the case, but they can't afford to beat the case. So they pled guilty. So I think that's the outcome of too many of these cases. Mm-hmm. And we're hopeful that Stephen Horn, who, you know, he has the resources, he's determined to win the case, will possibly blaze a path for others in his situation.
Thank you, Jerry, for the call. Our number 800-733-9829. Renee in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi. I met a veteran who currently is on that J6 incarceration list, and he has two Purple Hearts. I appreciate what he's done in service to our country, and I'd like to send him a note of encouragement. Should I call the attorney on the list to find out whether I can write to him and the address?
I think that would be the best bet. So anybody that you want to send a letter to, that attorneys, we've got their mailing address, their email address, their phone number, that I think would be the first stop. So that's what I would recommend. And I also do know that, again, this is terrible, but in the prisons themselves, the mail is delayed by months. So
wow.
I encourage you to try. Maybe the attorney can bring the letter or read the letter to him over the phone, something like that. So that would be my first stop if I was trying to reach somebody. And I do encourage you. Look, these men, when they get out of prison, they're either going to be broken or they're going to have hope. And one way of ensuring that they do have hope is to know there are people out there praying for them, writing them letters and encouraging them. So, yeah. So please do that.
Thank you, Renee, for the call. We're up against a break, so we're going to take the break and we're going to come back to more of your phone calls. Matt Brainerd is with us. The website, lookaheadamerica.org.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Do you know what the real rate of inflation is? Well, the government says it's 4.5%. That's a lie. The real rate of inflation, provable, documented, with traditional accounting that the government used to use from the 1980s, puts inflation at 11%. Do you know that this inflation is created because our federal government is breaking the law and the U.S. Constitution and printing money through the Federal Reserve, which was created to try to stop bank failures and financial crisis, but it's only created financial crisis. And inflation is a hidden tax. Now the government is proposing taxing you on perceived increase in value of your house or your stocks. But what they're not taking into account is the reason your stock and house is going up is because of the hidden tax of inflation that's debasing your dollars and thus taking more dollars to buy that house or stock. The government, again, is cheating and stealing from you.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Matt Brainerd is our guest, Executive Director of Look Ahead America, and they've got a lot of info on their site, lookaheadamerica.org. And if you even do a /J6 on there, you'll see that prisoner list as well. That's lookaheadamerica.org. Let's go to Sardinia, Ohio. Linda, you're on the air.
Yes, this just makes me sick. I can't. It's just, I knew those people at January 6th was being treated badly, but I just can't believe. Anyway, I knew our government's been so corrupt for years and years and years, and the only thing I can say, we're going to have to pray to God for mercy and pray to God, pray for help. And the main thing I still have hope for is that they will find out that Biden stole the election from Trump,
okay,
and this wouldn't be happening if Trump wasn't there.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, thank you.
Let's go to anonymous caller from Missouri. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, yes. I'm just anonymous, so I don't have to think about much what I say, but because I was there on January 6th, and I am being prosecuted currently by the federal government for being there, and I just want to say, yes, it was absolutely a setup. And, you know, when the FBI came to talk to me, you know, of course, I fully cooperated. I'm like, yeah, I don't have anything to hide. I didn't realize that they were going to actually turn it into an actual case where they were going to, you know, technically arrest me, prosecute me, all this, because they didn't find anything that, you know, that goes with the narrative. There was, of course, nothing, you know, no insurrection, nothing there. But yet, they're still trying to charge me with stuff like trespassing and parading and all that same stuff. And so, but thanks for talking about this on here, because it needs a lot of exposure. Everyone needs to know it's a hoax, and that, yes, our fellow patriots in prison are being absolutely persecuted. So thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for the call. Matt, any comments here to this listener who's on one of those that has been named by the FBI?
Best of luck in your case. And the lesson also for everybody listening is, do not talk to a cop without a lawyer present. And I'm sure that's a mistake that the caller will not make again.
Hmm. Ron is calling from Tri-Cities, Washington. You're on the air.
Yes, I want to thank you for bringing attention to this issue. These citizens are having their Fifth, Sixth, and Eighth Amendments blatantly violated by the United States government. Our government officials are the criminals, not the people in jail. And the Congress is responsible for the governance of the District of Columbia, so you can give responsibility to Nancy Pelosi and some of the leaders of Congress. They're responsible for everything that's going on there.
Thank you for the call. You know, Matt, and this is why you're encouraging people to contact members of Congress.
Right. And, you know, the Capitol Police is a unique police department. It's not answerable to anybody but the Speaker of the House. And they're also not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests. Bizarrely, every other police department in the country is, except the Capitol Police.
Wow.
That is an agency that is in bad need of reform. And, you know, Pelosi's out there trying to get additional billions to fund it, not so they can just protect the Capitol, but so they can deploy forward operating bases in places like Florida, where they have no business being.
Our number, 800-733-9829. Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Ann, you're on the air.
Yeah, the Republican Party has always been labeled as the party of the rich. And I believe you and understand how it's like there's no money going towards this. Where are these, you know, political conservatives that have so much money? Why aren't they stepping up? And the other thing I would like to say, and it's a sad comment from my heart, and that is, if this was any other group, if this were all an ethnic group of Jews or of blacks or any ethnicity, there would be, the whole world would be standing up. But because these are Christians or white people, where are the Christians? This has been broadcast. We do know about this. And everybody just sits back and is waiting for someone else to do. We should be in the streets with pots and pans, peacefully making noise, as you said, organize. Where is the organization going to come from?
Thank you, Ann. And Matt, you've got the answer to that because that's something you are organizing.
Look Ahead America, we just really launched in January, and we're punching way above our weight, but we're only as strong as the people behind us. So please, sign up to volunteer, make a contribution. It will be tax deductible. At lookaheadamerica.org to help us fund and man these efforts. We've got 40 initiatives actually underway in 40 states across the country, all on battling on these fronts. And look, if I could have marched 100,000 people into D.C., all those people would be out by now.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ann, for the call. Merle in Tennessee, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim, we all remember when the POWs from Vietnam got off the airplane and how decimated they look. I believe these individuals will look the same when they come out of the prison, if they do come out. And I believe the current Biden regime in Washington is American in name only, and we need to be praying. And I'm telling you, I'm going to start looking to organize. I'm going to call a gentleman as soon as I get off the phone to meet with our senators. I thank Matt for bringing this to the forefront. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Merle. Jackie in West Dallas, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I wanted to know, I know you put out a list stating the names of prisoners. Is there some way we can help Christians' families with lawyers, any kind of money, even if one person, one Christian each would send a dollar to lawyers or put money on the books for these people are being locked up? We need to support Christians that they know they are not alone. And just like people, we send money to the Milwaukee Rescue
Mission. Sure. And tell you what, we're down to 45 seconds left, and I want Matt to have time to kind of give response to this. But certainly, these are the Christians and non that are part of this. Part of the issue is the inhumane treatment that's going on here as well and the unjust treatment that is going on. Matt, do we have a half minute? Go ahead and share what you'd like with our listeners.
Sure. If there's a prisoner, I would look into the different stories of those being held. And on our website, lookaheadamerica.org/J6, look up who their attorney is and see if they have a defense fund. We've avoided setting up a fund ourselves because I don't want to have my hand in that money at all. Right. I want it to go, you know, look up the attorney, find out where the fund is and contribute directly. And some of them have Give, Send, Go pages set up to help them. So I encourage you to do that. I've done that myself. So if you want to contribute to their defenses, that's the way to do it.
Matt Brainerd with us here today. And again, the website is lookaheadamerica.org. Matt, thank you for bringing this to the attention of our listeners.
I'm happy to have been here, and thanks for the opportunity.
And friends, as many have suggested, be praying. Also take time. Let's make some phone calls. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.